Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Right there, that was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I just ate a bowl of cereal faster than I have ever eaten a bowl of cereal in my life.
Josh went full ASMR on this bowl of cereal while we were on the line.
I debated doing it on the podcast, but I thought, you know, that sounds like a monumentally horrible idea. I'm here, as always, with the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, happy birthday week.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's not going as what I would thought it would go.
Oh, no.
Which is my wife and I have been sick since later last week and just dealing with all that crap, and I still got the residuals, if you might hear by my voice.
Yep.
There's like mucus, like right in the, it's like right in the back of the nasal cavity that, like, you know, it's like the last bastion of crap.
Yeah.
That you have to deal with sickness.
It's just,
and it just does it, and it's just stuck there, you know,
dude,
and it doesn't get out.
And like, you feel like pressure behind your eyes, and just, I hate.
A little bit,
I think,
yeah.
So, controversial take here. I would rather have a fever than a cold.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, I would definitely have a fever than a
cold. With me on that? Yeah.
Primarily because congestion is the worst thing on the planet.
Oh, yeah,
it is. I hate being congested. I hate not being able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the fact that, like, your taste buds, like, my taste buds got thrown out of proportion for, like, a day or two.
Yeah.
And then finally, like, I took some Alka-Seltzer cold and flu, and that got kind of rid of everything, and spray Afrin up your nose so you can kind of get your better pathways. And thankfully, Vicks VapoRub now comes in a stick.
Oh.
So instead of putting all the gunk on your chest like you used to do when you were like 5 years old,
right?
You just
right.
take this little stick and you just like kind of
it's like
it
a little. It's like just, it's like chapstick.
It's like
for
deodorant.
Your chest.
It's like deodorant now.
Nice. It comes in Old
so
Spice.
Amazing. Yeah. Welcome to the 21st century.
Is that Vicks VapoRub I smell? Like, oh my goodness,
dude. That's been saving me. Vicks VapoRub has been like killing off this crap. But anyway,
good.
Been having to deal with that, and yeah, birthday actually went pretty well yesterday. We got out. We had breakfast.
Nice.
At a local place in Tacoma. And then we had dinner we had dinner at Duke's. So
you got some seafood?
Yeah. I actually got a steak there.
Attaway.
They had a special.
Attaway.
They had a 6 ounce filet mignon and then
Some
potatoes. And it was surf and turf. So it was prawns and filet.
The steak as good as the one as your birthday last year when we went to Nona Luisa's?
This steak was buttery.
Nice.
And it was like, it was like that kind of steak where it, the medium rare, where it just kind of just dissolves in your mouth.
Attaway.
I don't know. I don't think really anything can top Nona Luisa's, to be quite honest.
It's a whole experience. It is.
It's a whole experience.
It is a whole vibe. Well, in true to friendship fashion, you'll have your birthday present from me in 4 to 6 months.
Oh man! That's
well, awesome. You know, I'll get it to you. Yeah,
it'll come.
We know what it's going to be. Honest. You know, yeah, exactly. Let's be honest about it. Well, Jack, my friend, before we hop into our topic today, would you please give us this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week? What do you got for us?
This cigar of the week is, yet again, March is for my father. Mm-hmm. So we are doing the whole lineup series, brands, offshoots of my father's cigars. This one is the My Father Le Bijou 1922 Churchill.
Nice.
So this is an interesting cigar. So this was designated number 7 in the top 25 cigars of 2022.
Dude.
So this was a high ranking cigar a couple years ago. It's been ranking about 93-94 points consistently for the last couple years now too.
Yep.
It was kind of shooting for 90 and then it shot up a few more points. The breakdown of it, so I'll just give you the breakdown of what Cigar Aficionado says.
Yeah.
It's a double Oscuro wrapper.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a very dark wrapper. It's a very puro Nicaraguan. So basically, this is created by a cigar maker and cigar aficionado, Jose Pepin Garcia. And basically, it was designated to honor Garcia's father. 1922 kind of means that he was born in that time frame and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's a Cuban seed Nicaraguan wrapper.
Nice.
Okay. So it's Nicaraguan, but it's Cuban seed. And then after that, it's very dark. It's very oily Churchill. Has very chocolatey leather spice notes in it. And then you got some sweetness towards the end of like cinnamon and butterscotch.
Spice.
So it's pure Nicaraguan, like filler, binder, wrappers, all Nicaraguan, right?
Okay.
The pricing on this, MSRP, is $12 to $13, people.
For a Churchill.
Churchill.
Not bad at all, Jack. Well done.
Number 7, people, of the cigar, number 7 of the cigars of 2022, and it is $12 to $13. Pure Nicaraguan, the My Father Le Bijou 1922 Churchill.
Look at you, dude.
Yes.
Coming in strong, as always, Jack. Well done. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here, possibly for the first time. That is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do, my friends. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. Yep. Speaking of smoking to the glory of God, I had the opportunity. I got to do a little free shout out. I know, you know, hashtag no free shout outs, but here's a little free shout out. I had the pleasure of being a guest on the Spurgeon Piper YouTube channel. That just got released as of this recording, got released today. So Wilson Marsh is a fellow 1689er. You can find him on Twitter, and he hosts the YouTube channel, the Spurgeon Piper. Which is basically exactly what it sounds like. All things Spurgeon, all things pipe tobacco. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. I was approached by Wilson to be a guest on there to talk about basically like what does an average week look like for a pastor. So I went on there, had an excellent time. Wilson Marsh is a gentleman and a scholar. His YouTube channel is really cool. He's got a lot of subscribers, like a lot more subscribers than I thought, you know, because, I mean, you see kind of like these niche, you know, like, I mean, let's take the Reformatory. Let's be honest. You know, we're a boutique, small batch podcast, right?
Got our crap handed to us in that bracket system.
Did we ever? Good gracious.
Like, what?
Yeah. Anyway, head on over. You know, I shared them on my shows on the socials as well. Go check out the Spurgeon Piper on YouTube. Cool dude. Cool video content. Especially if you're new into pipe smoking, Wilson knows what he's talking about. So we're going to be doing some more collabs, probably with the Reformatory as well in the future. But awesome dude. Nice. Awesome YouTube channel. Go check it out. I had a great time. Free shout out over anymore. You know, and after this point, you know, got to see some dollar bills, baby. That's all I got to say.
Well, I will say this.
Yes.
When people were sending me their obligatory happy birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Out of the blue.
Who'd you get?
I get this happy birthday, and then I don't recognize the number. And then I look at it. Oh, Pat Aldridge. Old Pat Man.
From
Geneva, Illinois, baby. Wow. Coming in hot. So
wow, yep. Dude. Pat, shout out Pat.
Pat graced me with a little happy birthday stuff. So that was nice.
Shout out Pat Aldridge, dude. He's an OG. He's love that man to death. Awesome dude. All right, Jack, let's hop into today's topic, my friend. Today we are talking about a really cool topic. This was actually brought to us by a listener, possibly one of our patrons, I think. I had it written down. I can't remember if it was one of our patrons or not. I think it was, but if not, I apologize. If it wasn't one of our patrons, whichever listener suggested this should become one of our patrons. Let's just put it that way, right?
Yes.
They want to know, how do you encourage your pastors? What are some practical ways throughout the week that you can encourage your pastors? And just kind of, you know, what are some things that pastors appreciate, right? What are some things that might be more effective than others? What are just some ways that you as a church member can encourage your pastor throughout the week? And I love this question because, first off, I love the heart behind this question. You know, I think some people go too far in talking, you know, I would say some pastors go too far in talking about like how hard the role of the pastor is. Like, yes, let's be clear. There are aspects of the pastoral role that are unique to that role. And because of that, they can be specifically difficult because of the things that you are called to do, right?
Yeah.
But I do think there are some individuals that maybe take it a little too far and be like, you know, the pastor, it's an unforgiving role. It's a role with no thanks, right? Things like this. And look, I don't want to put down any of the experiences that those individuals has had. I can attest from experience that, yeah, sometimes it does feel like that. And sometimes being in the role of a pastor is one of the greatest like joys that exists. I know that's how it is for me. You know, I've experienced both being at my lowest in the role of pastor and being at the peak of joy. Right. So the role of pastor is very much like every other role in that you have your ups and downs, but it is a role that can often, I would say, kind of fly under the radar as, I don't want to say a thankless job because we just talked about that, but one that I think people don't realize at times, I would say the emotional toll that pastors will go through, right? Every job takes a toll on the individual, right?
Yeah.
If you're in blue collar, right, which the vast majority of guys in my church are blue collar, and I love that, you know, their jobs are very physical. And it takes physical tolls on them, right? And it's stuff that they have to be aware of and have to be careful of, right? The role of the pastor, because it's much more of a white collar, intellectual, you know, academic at times job, you know, and you're dealing with people, right? You're dealing with people usually when they come into your office, and this is kind of the sad part, and this is why I love this question, is because the vast majority of the time that we are interacting with our congregations in kind of a one-on-one personal manner is usually when something's gone wrong, right? And we're doing some sort of soul care, some sort of discipleship, right? And again, that is the role of the pastor. It's what you're supposed to do. But the reason I love this question so much is because so often the role of a pastor is intaking a bunch of negative and intaking a bunch of, you know, hard things that your congregation's going through and things that you're having to help them through, right? And then you have the rigors of putting a sermon together and or Sunday school or whatever it is. And there can often not be a lot of interaction with your congregation that's on a positive note, on an encouraging note, right? Somebody comes into your office, right? And you know, I'll use this as an example, just to say hi, like, hey, here's a coffee, right? I was thinking about you. I was praying about you. Just want to stop in, see how you're doing. Tell you I appreciate you. Like that kind of stuff, Jack, is huge. That will make a pastor's week. If somebody, if there are church members that take time out of their day to do that, you could have a slog of a week. But like that random person that came in to your office, or that random person that decided to give you a call or send you a text, you know, on a random, like, you know, Tuesday night saying, hey, just want you to know I appreciate you. Dude, I will ride those clouds. that will take me to the gates of heaven, man, with how encouraging that stuff is. So
sure.
All that to say, I love this question. I love the heart behind this question. And it's something that I really enjoy talking about. But I want to throw it over to you, Jack, my friend. How do you go about encouraging your pastors, those who are in authority over you?
Yeah. I see them pretty much every week at this point.
Nice.
So I do a program in our local church, in where it's kind of like a specified time for about a year and a half in which we go through different things to be equipped. It's also a time in which we kind of, so it's called Pastors and Leaders Institute. So what we try and do is out of that time is with our pastors and with a few guys as well too, is just kind of discern what our next step is. If the Lord is kind of leading us towards a time in which we aspire towards eldership or deaconship or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I see them every week, pretty much either at Lord's Day services. And then on top of this at PLI nights, like we're recording, I'll go to this tonight. So a lot of it is just talking with them.
Mm.
Yep. A lot of it is just fellowshipping with them and just asking them how their week's going. Sometimes it's as easy as there will be times where I will be at a branch. There's actually a local branch of my company. And sometimes I go there because I need stuff. And I'll just say, hey, can I drop by and just say hello and just get a cup of coffee because the coffee here kind of stinks. Yeah. and they'll be like, let's do this. So they'll usually have really good coffee on. And I think that's what they need. I think that a lot of pastors, the typical stereotype of a pastor is in his study, like laboring over a sermon alone. You know, I feel like that's the stereotype.
Yeah. Well, and then the old joke, like, oh, pastors work like 2 to 3 hours a week. It's Sunday morning. It's like, oh, God. Nah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Heard that so many times.
Yeah. So a lot of it is, a lot of the stuff that they have to go through is really tough. Some of the conversations that they have are way tougher than I go through on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, even. A lot of the stuff that they have to do is they have to discern, they have to exercise a certain authority that they've obviously been given by obviously God in the scriptures. So with those decisions being made, it can be a very lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to discount that, but I also don't want to discount the fact that pastors also have the capability to seek out fellowship and community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think seeing it from the outside in, pastors have the ability to be their own worst enemy, or basically the greatest companion to the church that they can be.
Yeah.
So a lot of it too is just, you know, just letting, like, If you know your pastor, like, you'll figure out their quirks and what they like and stuff like that. And so I think a lot of it has to do with encouraging them through the week could look a variety of different ways. One of them could be praying for them because they're going to have some counseling moments this week that are going to be hard. Mm-hmm. Some of it can just be as simple as you're in a community group with your one of your pastors, and they need encouragement because it can be tough out there. So yeah, I think some of it is just very practical ways, but I think this goes with a lot of things that we say too, with different demographics of people in the church. Like, you're all kind of the same to a certain degree. Like, you are all made in the image of God. You're all image bearers. Mm. You all deal with sin. You all deal with issues. You all need to be loved and to have fellowship with the church.
Yeah.
And so part of it is making sure that you're not putting your pastors on a pedestal. Like, sure, you know where their position is in the church, but also it's understanding that their position in the church is taxing.
Yeah.
And so how can, I guess the question comes back to, how can you be a blessing to them as well as they can be a blessing to you? Because it's a two-way street.
It is a two-way street. And I liked what you said. You know, the first thing to remember is that, you know, you as a pastor, you do have a responsibility to be in fellowship with your congregation, right? Yeah. And that's really important. And I think that's an aspect of this that should be talked about. You know, one of the greatest ways that you can encourage your pastor is by encouraging him to be involved with the people, right?
Yeah.
Because that congregation, like, that is where his encouragement should be coming from. Doesn't mean that it can't come from other sources, or that, you know, pastors need confidants outside of the church and things like that, that they can talk to and bounce ideas off of. But I'll just tell you from experience, Jack, I am never more encouraged as a pastor than when I am interacting and fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in my own church.
Yeah.
Because they're mine. Like, they are my brothers and sisters. They're my family. Like, they bring me so much joy, and I love them, and I know they love me, and I know they care about me, right? And the longer I'm with them, the better we get to know each other. So the relationship goes so much deeper than just a superficial thing, right? That is so encouraging. So I really liked what you said there, and that would be my first advice, is encourage your pastor to be involved, right? The pastor that isn't involved with the sheep is not going to be a very effective pastor. And they're not going to be a very encouraged or joyful pastor if they're just kind of pastoring alone on an island, right?
Yeah.
I would say another thing to do is, and Jack already mentioned it, get to know your pastor. Understand what it is that makes them tick. What do they appreciate? Some pastors, you know, not to go full, you know, Gary Chapman love languages here, right? But some pastors appreciate time, you know, again.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some truth to what it is, you know, the different things people appreciate. Some pastors really appreciate quality time, and that's something that they enjoy. It's kind of a one-on-one thing. Some enjoy just encouraging words of affirmation, right? And those are kind of the texts and the phone calls and the, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm praying for you and I care about you and I really appreciate what you do for our church. And if there's any way specifically I can care for you, then please let me know. Dude, like, those types of texts and phone calls, in contrast to the majority of texts and phone calls or emails that pastors will get, that is such a light in the darkness. It is so encouraging to receive a text or a message like that. It's awesome, right? You know, giving your pastors just, you know, like Jack said, you know, show up and bring them coffee. Like, hey, was thinking about you. Here you go, right? Really care about you. Find the ways that your pastor, you know, find the things that they appreciate. And then I would say lean into those, right? But I would say, you know, ultimately, prayer. Like, your pastors need prayer. Prayer that they won't become discouraged. Prayer that they won't, you know, become disillusioned with the, you know, the work that they're called to. Prayer for their families, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you, dude, a really huge way to encourage pastors is to bless their wives.
Yeah,
it really is. Like if I see my wife being cared for and being loved by my people, it does my heart so much good. And the pastors, you know, this it probably warrants its own ep, honestly, but the pastor's wife is really a forgotten position, because she's in a very unique position within the church that she's married to a pastor. She doesn't have any of the authority, right? She doesn't have any of the responsibility that the pastor does. But she goes through all of the same rigorous effects without any of the responsibility and without any way to actually kind of, take some ownership of it. She still goes through it because her husband goes through it. Right. And that can be really discouraging for pastors' wives. Right. So I think that we would be remiss to have a conversation about how do we encourage pastors without bringing in their wives, because pastors' wives are such a forgotten role within the church. And any guy knows, right? Any wife knows, right? Anybody listening to this who's married knows when your spouse is doing good.
Yeah.
Like you're doing good, you know, like you can go through a lot more and have a lot more energy and a lot more hope when you know your spouse is good, right? But if we're seeing our spouse suffer and wither, man, that has such an effect on us.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Jack, anything to add on that one?
I mean, I think it's true. I mean, just as I guess it's a part of it too, is just this week, this last couple of weeks where I've seen my wife sick and not getting, you know, it's she's gone literally from one crap illness to like the next one. And, that takes a toll on you too, especially when myself, like I'll rebound from sickness a little bit faster and then she's kind of slower to rebound from it. And so, I will say that does take, a toll, because I think part of it is, you know, health wise or anything like that. It comes into play. It affects how you minister.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, yeah, it's a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is very practicality.
Mm-hmm.
Very much baseline level. How do you love people well?
Yeah.
Hopefully this is not anything new. Hopefully this is just like an exhortation to people to continue what they're already doing.
Well, and that's kind of the point, Jack, is like, you know, there's no special formula to encourage pastors.
Yeah.
Pastors are people, right? And they go through, they have the same emotions. They have the same levels of energy. They have the same issues with anxiety or depression or frustration as anybody does. So, you know, I think it'll manifest itself differently because of the role that they're in, and different things will affect them differently because of the role that they're in. But at the end of the day, your pastor is a brother in Christ. How would you encourage or get to know any other brother in Christ? You get to know them. You get to know what they appreciate. You get to know, what it is that they need. And then you supply that, right? And you supply that in any means that God has given you to do that. So you're 100% right, Jack. Like it's not something that, it's not a mystical thing. I think that some people, and I think I was guilty of this for a while, is kind of like mystifying the pastoral office, right? And it's really not. You're seriously shepherding people. You're helping people, right? You're putting together sermons. There's a lot of, I think, a misunderstanding of how actually unglamorous it is, right? And I think the guys, you know, and I want to say this graciously and tread carefully here, but I think the guys that try to glamorize pastoral ministry through social media and things like that, I think They're either trying to convince themselves that it's more glamorous than it actually is, or perhaps they have maybe a little too much time on their hands. So it feels a little bit more glamorous because maybe you're not, maybe you're not doing, you know, some of the down to earth gritty things that you should be doing as a pastor. Right. So yeah, at the end of the day, pastors are people too, you know, and often they struggle with insecurity and doubt and frustration, and they're worried about their wives, they're worried about their kids, they're worried about their finances, they're worried about their energy levels, they're wanting to try to find time to get to the gym because they know they need to be healthier. And there's so many areas that the pastor could be encouraged in. So just get to know them, show them you love them, show them you care, show them that you want to be a part of their life. And to be a source of encouragement, right? I think it was Jared C. Wilson. It might have been in his book, Imperfect Disciple. I can't remember. Or it might have just been a tweet. But it always stuck with me. He said something to the effect, and I'm going to paraphrase, but I'm 99.9% sure it was Jared C. Wilson. He said, "I don't ever want to be the guy that when the pastor sees me coming up to him, he groans."
Oh yeah,
I really like that. Whenever one of my pastors, and ever since I heard that, I made it a mission to be the guy that when my pastor sees me walking up to him, he knows he's about to be encouraged. He knows he's about to smile. He knows he's about to laugh. He knows he's about to experience some joy. That's what I want to be for my pastors. And at the end of the day, that's what I would love my congregation to be for me, right? Obviously, you're always, you know, going to have times, even with those people, where you got to walk through hard things. But walking through those hard things becomes so much easier and so much more of a joy when the foundation is that you guys care and you love each other, right? So that's what I would say. I think it's, at the end of the day, pretty simple. But it takes intentionality, it takes conversations, and it takes time. And all good relationships require that. So, Jack, my friend, shall we call it?
Shall we
call it an episode and go record some eps for our patrons?
I think Big Eva has sung, sir.
So. All right, my friend. Well, why don't you get us out of here,
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? If you appreciate just these simple, quick, nice little 30-minute episodes. So
yeah,
say.
we're trying to bring them down. We're trying to bring them down to commute size is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. You can follow us on The Reformatory, on the different sociables, if you will. The Facebook, the Metaverse, the Instagram, goes well with chocolate and marshmallow. The sociable, formerly known as Twitter X, if you will. You can follow us at all of those sociables at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Drop us a direct message, a question, a episode idea, anything that you would like. Please keep it tasteful. Hopefully there's no trolling out there.
Never know. We might troll back.
Yikes. So you can follow us there. Josh, you can tell the lovely people how they might support us in different endeavors.
That's right. Well, there are multiple ways. We have YouTube. All right. So if you would like to watch this as well as listen to it, you can head on over to youtube.com/reformatorypod and subscribe to the podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say, and you can be up to date on all the video content that we post over there on YouTube. We got some pretty cool video content in the works as we speak, recording some different Spurgeon cigar material things. I don't know. It's going to be cool, though. You can head on over there. Don't miss it. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and Spotify. We would greatly appreciate that. Last but not least, you could become a patron. You could join the throngs of people that have entered into exclusive content bliss and join the Podluck. For a $5 a month commitment, $5 holla, that's it, you too could become a Patreon supporter, and our pledge to you is that upon doing so, your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next ep of the Reformatory.